Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished and senior tech leader from Dallas, USA, Mr. Rameshwar Balanagu. Ram, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh. A very good evening and a good morning from me from US.
Thank you. Ram is the Chief Enterprise Architect of UNFI. He's a growth-focused IT executive and a digital transformation leader. So Ram, before we talk about technology, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Ashutosh, like everybody else, I'm an immigrant. Got my citizenship just a year and a half back. It took me 20 years, quite a bit of fortune. Doing my master's over here, in US. I did my MBA, then I did a program in Columbia School, and then I did a further program in Carnegie Mellon, and then I got my citizenship. Mm-hmm. My roots are from Hyderabad, which is part of Telangana, the former erstwhile Andhra Pradesh. For many of the folks who know how India geographically is. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much been in Dallas for 20 years, my two decades of my life.
Wow.
For people who don't know Dallas, especially Indians, Dallas is now becoming, they call it the Desi hub of US.
Yeah.
It's very subtropical in nature, kind of exactly like how India is, a lot well organized, I would say. Mm. Having said that, the last 20 years of my life, especially, I'll give a small anecdotal. Now India is shining, India is bright, everybody is so proud.
Hmm.
Back when we were kids or when we were graduating, I come from a graduation of agriculture. I was honestly not sure what my future is.
Hmm.
I'm an average person, and I still consider I'm an average person.
Hmm.
I didn't see much future, and the only way for me was to go to US because I didn't have a career. Now you go to the coffee shops in India, you can smell passion for energy, the passion for doing things, the pride that I'm an Indian. It's so immense. It makes me think, you know what? I should have been fast forward 20 years and I should have been born in this Gen X.
No.
So, long story short, gone through the corporate excellence, the challenges of being an immigrant. But again, thanks to the vibrant Indian community over here for the support. And you have great leaders to follow up, including Ashutosh. I learned a lot about you. The world is becoming one, and what we call in our world is Vasudhaika Kutumbikam. The world is flat, like your background shows.
Yeah.
So there is so much to learn from so many leaders, and it's all about the continuous journey of learning and listening from the gurus or the leaders.
How wonderful. So tell me now about UNFI, and talk to me a little bit about the digital transformation journey and your role in shaping it.
So basically, UNFI is known as United Natural Food International.
Mm-hmm.
It's well known in US. It's a $30 billion brand.
Mm-hmm.
The company supplies what we call as farm to fork, which is we get from the farmers and from the traders and the brokers, and then we process in our logistics and we ship the produce to the local grocery and retail stores. Many of the North American people who are watching might know who is Whole Foods. So Whole Foods is by far the largest.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is acquired by Amazon. So every next time if you're coming and picking up something like your vegetables or anything, that we are shipping it.
Wow.
Retail actually is struck by two variables. Supply chain in US is the most resilient and by far the strongest backbone, as you know. Sadly, the gross margins of retail are not like SaaS companies. In SaaS companies, your gross margins are 60 to 80%.
Mm.
In retail, they're just 4 to 6%, wafer thin margins. And then on top of this, you have recall issues, supply chain issues like the global pandemic. We even had, the Panama Canal dryer, all these things. And add to this, compounded by those geographical wars. Mm. So supply chain is highly prone. So in order to move this, you can't control the external factors. I mean, if you do a lot of strategy planning, what we call a special analysis, political, economic, social, technological, legal. for retail, the PESEL analysis is even more impactful.
Mm.
So what do you do when there are external headwinds against you is you accelerate or you embark on your transformation journey faster.
Mm.
Means you try to deliver seamlessly. You try to move things faster across your systems internally and externally. And when we talk about digital transformation, you know, it's not you just using digital technologies. It's improving or bringing happiness to the customer. Getting the produce from the farmer to the retail quickly, you know, fresh and organically. That is what is part of the transformation journey that we
Amazing.
Are in.
And when you, Ram, when you speak about a $30 billion organization, how do you prioritize initiatives when leading digital transformation? Because this is such a massive organization.
It is, it is. The visionaries obviously are the executives, and I kind of report to the CTO. There's an off late latest trend, you know, if you all have been doing strategic planning, as those you've been doing, there is the strategic objectives that go in. You know, the strategic objectives are the key drivers to try for the transformation. So the objectives translate into strategic initiatives, which translate into portfolio and projects. And then you start tying it back with KPIs. So the goal for us is start taking the strategic initiatives and overlaying it with technology and measuring it back with the technology is, okay, did we accomplish a strategic initiative? You know, what we call KPIs, the lagging indicators. The good thing is with technology, now we're able to accelerate faster. But the bad thing is there are bad actors all over, which means you have to make sure your perimeter and all the things are there. In fact, I was just listening to one of the New York Stern's professors, AI Ethics One, and she is saying now the habits have changed so much. Like earlier, we used to search using Google search. And now we're going to ChatGPT. So the models are changing. The experiences are changing.
Yeah.
And this is what transformation is.
Very well said. Great response. Thank you. So Ram, my next question is, as a growth-focused IT executive, what key strategies do you employ to foster innovation within your team?
Yeah, Ashutosh, you yourself have been an experienced leader, and for many people, innovation means many things. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep referring to the McKinsey's 3S framework of horizon, strategic horizon for innovation. Like I said, innovation doesn't have to come out of the blue and the black, out of vaporware. Innovation could be gradual. If you see a field man or a fork man struggling with a lot of things, you could just make his life better by automating or kind of making the process a lot simpler and making his data, you know, we're what you call a retail company. So what you want to do is the pick, pack, ship, which is what a warehouse management is. You perhaps you can bring in new technology, but the pick, pack, ship, maybe you could reduce some of his work to kind of simplify it. So you know, this is what innovation has to be. Now, if you're a startup, you're fundamentally different. You're creating something new. But companies like us, you know, we're not going to create something new. We will be gradually creating value. So innovation means not just technology, but it's giving either a business value or a consumer value. That is how I have always inspired or been inspired. And I put the same presence to my team, and I've empowered them so much, like not just in UNFI, prior to this at Avaya, I gave the team the freedom to start thinking global, or I would say global. Think global, act local. And that only comes by setting the standards as a leader. And that cascades down.
Well said. Well said. And Ram, how do you balance the need for technical excellence with the business acumen that your role requires?
Part of enterprise architecture is business architecture, which is the core of my job. I come from IT background. Most of us, most of the IT folks have started on the developer lifecycle and have grown through the ranks. And sometimes we do struggle, let me be very frank. But what is getting is business is technology, technology is business these days. So it's no more either or, it's and. So what is happening is if you want to have an edge, you know, take this classic example, the hype with Gen AI. Okay, we've you know, the ChatGPT came in November of 2022. Mm-hmm. In less than 1 week, you know, we had million downloads and there were articles on, okay, the hype phase went on. Now, where do we find the use cases? Yes, we are using it, but the problem is we still are struggling to make business use cases. So lots of millions of dollars are being pumped in and we don't want to lose it. The FOMO is there, but the business use cases are actually coming once people understand business. Now that we've got this technology, where do I throw in? Where do I throw in? There's so much that people are talking. The majority of the CISOs, so last week I was at the SAP Enterprise Architecture Summit in Philadelphia. Every customer, the first thing they start is, hey, Gen AI. But then, hey, you know what, guys, we have our data problems, we have our business problem, and our technology is still obsolete. So what do we do with those? You know, and security comes and says, you know what, Gen AI is cool, but, you know, I'm still not sure. So I'll tell you a simple thing, Ashutosh. This is something I learned in Jamshedpur in 2000. I'll never forget. What is right in your culture is wrong in my culture.
Right.
So, of course, now, so if you see CNN, BBC, the way they're projecting India is different. It's not a technology problem. It is how data is being projected and how people are perceiving. So when the models are coming, the bias is already induced. So what we need is, we need to, first of all, we are in this Gen Alpha world of we need to learn technology forever, good or bad, but then have ethics and also understand business for the companies to be better. There's a statement, I don't remember the numbers, Ashutosh. The companies in the Fortune 100 in 1990 are no longer there, and there are only a handful of them today. Even among them, only companies that adopt technology and create new business models will be there. So the numbers, I don't have it with me.
No, you're right. And I'm aware of this study also. They say that companies which were very, very large in 1990s and have almost disappeared from the top companies in the US. You're absolutely right. But moving on, Ram, can you explain the concept of AI for good and how you are applying this in your work?
So it's funny. I'll actually have to show you a book. So this is a book I would strongly, putting ourselves in the equation, but it also connects back with you. So there are a lot of definitions now. When people talk of AI, first thing I ask is this the new AI, which is Gen AI, or the old AI? So AI, I'm not here to preach it. You've been more than that. You know, there is a cognitive part of it, which is always embedded in it. So why I read it, and I'll tell you, is why physicists are studying human consciousness and AI to unravel the mysteries of the universe. So what is happening is, so far, AI has been narrow AI. No, okay, let's not talk of origins, but what it is, I'm sure you remember this precedence, Ashutosh, your grandmom or something. They used to look at the sun and tell the time to the dot. And I'm like, how on earth is my grandma saying this? I don't understand. And then sometimes they used to, my great grandmother used to wake up in the midnight shaking, shivering. And she used to feel she got personified. So, you know, why am I coming for this AI for good is, you know, AI has been there. But understanding AI in multiple aspects, you know, like I said, today, if you ask Google Gemini, of how the Indian Prime Minister is, it portrays very differently versus another president who's portrayed very differently. So AI for good has three things. One is the trust and the transparency. Second thing is, you know, there's a big joke going on right now. We have been talking the UNDP, United Nations talks of sustainability by 2030. Since 2022, we have been burning our natural resources crazily with for AI, you know, no offense. Even I, you know, I write articles on LinkedIn. The first thing to generate my image, I use DALL-E. So, you know, how we're talking of sustainability on one side, and then we're talking AI. And we're forgetting sustainability for convenience.
Correct.
So part of AI for good, what I'm trying to say is we need to use AI, but we need to understand the morals. We need to understand trust. The thing is, how is it and what is it costing our environment? You know, these are some of the principles. And then the biggest fear I have, Ashutosh, is the wrong is becoming the right, which becomes the precedence. And the generations, you know, basically think, you know, oh, what's wrong with it? This is the right.
Yeah.
The new wrong becomes the norm. And that is what we've got to fix. And that is what people like you and me have to start, you know, educating. And I was actually, this book that I'm talking of by George Musser, what he's talking is till a couple of years, we had classical physics, which is the light and all. But now with quantum coming, with the Heisenberg, and have you watched Oppenheimer, as I read this book, then this is the it becomes even more strong to me that what we say in India is, I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. It was funny, we never understood it, but now quantum physics is saying you can. So when quantum physics can show an existence of bipolarity of it, which means your data could also be interpreted wrongly. So these are things that I am looking to help or partner with people, use technology, but discern the facts of why AI should be for good.
Yeah, well said. Ram, you know, when I was reading and preparing for my conversation with you, I was also fascinated that you have a lot of knowledge of Vedas and Vedic principles. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. How do you see the intersection of modern technology and ancient wisdom, such as the Vedas, benefiting society?
So, Ashutosh, since you asked me this question, I'll proudly say that my dad was an example of Sanatana. So he built temple, he built church, he built mosque. Because of him, I went all over. And then I became an atheist also, because I felt religion is the bane of people destruction. But when my first son was born, there was incidents that transferred me back. That was in 30s. And now probably I'm getting slightly older. Now, what I'm seeing is, I wish our parents would have mentioned or educated us on Vedas through science.
Yeah.
We were enforced, do this, otherwise you do this, do this. But as I start reading all these books, you know what? Wait a minute. This is what Vedas start. So when my father passed away, I read Garuda Purana, not too much, but every precedent of it, I could experience it. So that made me dig is, you know, and there are many things as Vedas are not religion. They are science.
Correct.
That's why we have a library. So if you look at the chakras, so I'll give you a very simple example. This is AI wave 3. Prior to this, around 4 or 5 years back, AI came. And then in the middle, metaverse and blockchain came. So then they said you should, metaverse came between, and it fell down also. Facebook investment. And then, you know, when you Google metaverse, it comes off the concept of transcendence, right? So when you really look at it, how long have been we saying in yogas, the chakras, when you from the nabi to the brain, all the chakras, this is where transcendence comes.
Correct.
So, you know, then I started, and then surprisingly enough, just like us, the Mayan civilization, which is another heliocentric theory, talks very similar like us. So what I started realizing is the Vedas, actually even the Upanishads, they were written in Sanskrit, which I still don't take in time. They are talking science. And it is time to connect. You know, I was just reading yesterday. Steve Jobs, Mark Benioff have a brown book. You know what the book is? The autobiography of Adi Yogi.
Yeah.
Adi Yogi. You know, and when you look at these people and what they're getting is, it's not something like spiritual. Yes, it is. But understanding beyond and above. And this is where, you know, when I start looking into it. So again, this comes back, you know, when we were kids, we were watching movies. And Satyabhama, if you remember, Krishna asked Satyabhama, open a casket and think of somebody and look at it. So you, she could see Abhimanyu and whatnot. Those days, I used to laugh. Now, this is what I'm doing on iPhone. When Karna, Kauravas were born in those parts, we said, you know, this is nonsense, but what is test tube? So it is time we take technology and connect it back to Vedas, mm-hmm. and it is our duty, all of our duty, mm-hmm. to connect this back. Otherwise, our civilization, our history is lost.
Very well said. Very well said. So time for two more questions for you. My next question is that what emerging technology do you believe is currently underutilized, but has significant potential to transform industries?
It's a good question. I would say it's human technology. So I watch Palki Sharma's videos quite a bit.
Mm.
The younger generation is so smart, but they don't know how to tie laces, shoelaces.
Mm.
I think, you know, the Gen Alpha and all are amazing in technology. It's mm. and things will go. Now quantum is coming. Who knows what will come? The human technology, what I mean is our culture and respecting, you know, mm. taking things for granted. You know, everybody is now a millionaire or a billionaire, whatever it is. That human technology is missing. It is time we infuse it. You know, in our olden days, when older people come or relatives come, mm. we used to stand up. And today, with the wink of an eye, they're like doing it. So I don't want to talk because it's quantum today. Quantum is coming up and it's catching up. In fact, yesterday, Google or Microsoft said us they are writing $25 million to understand the use case of quantum.
Yeah.
It could be quantum. It could be maybe we could go to Mars. And thanks to ISRO, thanks to whatnot, things will come. Again, human and sustainability should be at the forefront of us. Mm-hmm. We only have one Earth and we are burning it fast.
Very well said.
So whatever technology we do should save Mother Earth, because our future generation should look at us as, you guys destroyed us, simply brutally destroyed
Absolutely
us.
Absolutely right. Mother Earth will never forgive us.
Yeah.
And my last question to you, Ram, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation, and this is for you personally. You know,
sure.
Came from Hyderabad, worked in Delhi for technology companies, are now a very successful top leader in the US. What would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of young viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from your learnings?
Stay grounded. I know many are successful. Mm. Again, I would say be fearless, mm. first thing. Mm. But stay grounded and rooted.
Mm.
Value your culture, because mm. that is what sets you apart. And that
yeah.
is what keeps you grounded.
Yeah. Very interesting. And on that note, Ram, and your amazing lessons, stay grounded, be fearless, and value your culture. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me about digital transformation at UNFI. Clearly, you're doing some amazing work at the cutting edge of technology. I love the way you are drawing upon our scriptures, our Indic scriptures, and, you know, learning from those and implementing a lot of those thoughts in everything that you're doing. Thank you also for speaking to me about AI for Good. I think this is a very important platform. There's a massive organization called AI for Good, and the chairperson of AI for Good, Stephen Ibaraki, is one of our hosts as well of the brand called You.
Oh, nice. I'm
so,
actually inspired by him as well.
Wonderful. Thank you again for speaking to
Thank
me.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.